Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Up. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This podcast will explore who are we? What is the difference between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would like to also thank every one of you for your support that you're giving me. My meetup friends, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, Facebook friends, Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During this podcast, I will read from my book, He Lives, The Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winners will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. And as always, I invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, studies, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural law versus man's law. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words. How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? Stay tuned in for all of our studies, then study to show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover. This month, I will be airing a pre-recorded presentation called The Confusion Programs by Servan King, presented by Marcus. Website, www.servanking.info. This presentation will reveal things you are not supposed to know, give you knowledge that is not government approved, expose things that are deliberately concealed, unmask the illusion and fraud of the deceivers, teach you how the oldest trick in the book is done, prove how you have been swindled, and who the thief is will shock you. You will be amazed by the everyday realities you practice and unbelievable discoveries hiding in plain sight. Your long-held beliefs will be shattered and replaced with confirmed knowledge. And of course, you will obtain your reward if you can renew your mind. We have all abandoned our real birthright for an abstract birth certificate. Confusion of the mind, being, voice, faith, law, things, money, and God. Again, I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of the problems so that we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of the problems humanity faces, but we do not understand the nature cause of our problems. There are root core causal factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problems to begin talking about the solution to these problems. These root core causal factors is about creating a positive change in your world. It's about the great work. It's about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these causal factors is not just about changing yourself, but about taking action in the process of changing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process of others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root causal factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan, He Lives, a Living Testimony has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. These testimonies are of my walk and awakening on this earth with the Creator and His creation. Opening up my eyes and heart to the Creator has given me insight about His Spirit and who the first Son was. You must want this walk for yourself. You must ask, seek, and knock. The Creator is waiting with open arms. You must do the homework by dividing the Word of God. You will not remain the same. No man can give you the understanding that comes through the Spirit of God. The natural laws of God were given to you at birth. These rights are not created by humans, but are your birthright endowed to you by the Creator of the universe. They are your inheritance. We were many from one, but have become one from many, a democracy. The only way out of this deception is through word of mouth, one to another. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. The great work is to end slavery. This should be a shared responsibility to help in awakening others. Speaking the truth unapologetically, even when we feel burdened or uncomfortable. So ask, seek, and knock. Study to show yourself approved and do not leave your salvation up to any man. The Creator does work through men, but the relationship is a vertical one, you and the Creator. Come as a son, male or female. Greater is he that is in you than the deception that is in the world. Edited back cover. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. What is a servant king? A servant king is the birthright of every man from the moment of his first breath until his natural death. Birthright is a term not much used in our vocabulary today. Most people would equate it with some royal lineage or maybe their right to citizenship. This is our birthright that holds our inheritance, which in turn holds all of our power, property, rights, and duties, and is our single most valuable possession. Unfortunately and unwittingly, we have all been deceived into abandoning our birthright in order to assume a graven identity. This presentation does not contain Marcus' opinions or what he believes to be true, only that is really happening in our everyday lives. During Marcus' quest, he made many discoveries that are not only unbelievable, but apparently are real, true, and happening. He learned that belief is only the lack of knowledge, a poor and foolish substitute for the truth. Belief stands opposed to knowledge. The concepts explained in the presentations affects everyone, the people of every nation on earth. Some of these concepts are easy to see once they are exposed, but some are very difficult to grasp. There is a subtlety to them. Right now, these concepts are foreign and alien to your way of thinking. These concepts will require you to think like you have never thought before. Hi, my name is Marcus, and I have a story to tell you. It is a long story, and after you hear it, you will not understand it. Not due to your lack of intelligence, but because of your training. You see, the law requires that everyone receives a government-approved education. This means that we all know the same things. Ask anyone a question and you will get the same answer. But what are the things that were not approved? And why were they not approved? Have you ever stopped to think? I mean, really stopped to think without any influence? We willingly participate and get involved in so many things with no understanding of what we are doing. We do them because we are born into them or because everyone else is doing them. The law governs what we do and do not do. It governs everything. We are told no one is above the law and we must all obey the law. But what really is law and where did it come from? Is there a law that says we have to obey the law? We are all born equal under the law, so where is it? We are all told that we have free will. If that is true, maybe I will obey the law and maybe I will not. But I see people getting punished for breaking the law. So the law must be higher than free will. Maybe we should be told that we have the law instead of free will. The presentation is the result of an overconfident, arrogant force that reached too far while I was sleeping. Not only did it wake me up, but I saw them. What seemed at the time to be a terrible wrong turned out to be for me a blessing in disguise. A few years ago, I stopped to think. My thinking made me realize how little I know. My thinking made me see things I never seen before. I think you should hear what I have to say, because what I learned and discovered is truly from an original source. This perceived wrong led me on a quest, because the things I believe could not possibly be true. This quest ultimately destroyed almost everything I believed and replaced my beliefs with secure, confirmed knowledge based on facts, evidence, and proof. The reward. What you lost is restored by default. And finally, I will explain why they do this. Get ready to be rewarded.
He Lived, the Living Testimony, is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives the Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
Hi, my name is Marcus, and welcome to Servant King. The purpose of this short introduction video is to give you a gist of what the website is about. I've made a great discovery. It's something a lot of people are looking for but can't quite figure out. Now, this discovery I made was not a good discovery. In fact, it was a bad discovery. But it led to something really great. And this discovery is the greatest hoax that has ever been played on man. I call it the perfect swindle. Yes, we've all been swindled through an elaborate scheme. Now, this is not a hoax like a joke. This is a cruel hoax and deadly serious. The effects of this hoax cause almost all the pain and suffering in the world, and it is worldwide. A hoax is a trick, and its intention is to deceive you, to gain an advantage over you. And a swindle deprives you of something through deceit and is accomplished through a fraudulent scheme. What makes this hoax and swindle extremely evil is you don't even know you've been tricked or deceived. So what is this hoax? How have I been deceived? Well, here's the answer. You have been tricked into voluntarily giving up something while believing you still have it. In the end, you will learn it's really just an illusion, but does it ever work well? It works 100%. It is complete. In other words, you've been cheated out of something, don't even know you've lost it. Now, you must admit that's a good trick. When you believe you still have it, when in fact you've lost it. To add insult to injury, it turns out you gave it up voluntarily. Now get ready for the real shocker. The thing that you gave up voluntarily, you had to steal it first. the most perfect swindle. Only the most diabolical mind could think this up and get you to do it without you even knowing. And in a moment, I will tell you what you did. First, I will tell you who I am and the reason for this introduction video. I'm just a normal, regular type of guy, born in a ready-made society, raised in our family's religion, sent to school to be educated, average right across the board, worked hard, played by the rules, as you would say. Then something happened that felt like it stripped me of all my dignity. This thing that happened was wrong, and no matter how I tried to conform my mind to the fact that it could be right, nah, it was still wrong. Nobody could help me, not a court, not a lawyer, not my member of parliament, not the prime minister, the queen, the pope, not even my mom. I just had to know how something that is wrong could be right. So I started looking. I went on a quest. As I was looking, strange events occurred. Things that would make you say, what's going on here? What's this really about? What's the big secret? Something is going on that I'm not supposed to know about. So on my quest, I discovered things that were unbelievable. But then I confirmed that these unbelievable things were actually happening. So I decided I need to expose these things in a series of presentations for reasons which you will learn as we go on. Now, I've never done a presentation before, and how do you present things that are unbelievable? Nobody will believe it. Why? Because it's unbelievable. So I read an article on the internet about presentations. It said the two key elements of a presentation are to inform and persuade. This article said that the credibility of the speaker is more important than the information to make people believe. The problem I have with that is, how do you know the information is true? The answer is the credibility of the speaker. So if I told you I have a doctorate degree in linguistic studies, both in English and in Greek, I also have a master's degree in public law, family law, and gravitational law, and have published 4 peer-reviewed articles in the Journal of Universal Knowledge, you would probably believe what I tell you. We are trained this way. In fact, if I tell you something, you would believe it because of my credibility. Then you will go tell your friend, did you know such and such as that? You will take what you believe and you will make it what you know. But belief is the absence of knowledge. You do not need to believe what you know to be true. So if I persuade you to believe what I'm going to tell you, that would only change your belief. You still would not know anything. So I will be giving you the evidence, the facts, and the proof. No persuasion. Then you will not say, I do not believe that. You will say, I did not know that. This article on presentations also said you should have some sort of grabber. Tell them something that is shocking or that will grab their attention. Well, I think I have a few grabbers. They may grab your attention. Number one, did you know that no one in Canada or the US or in any country owns any property? You do not own your house, your car, your TV, your pizza, socks, or underwear. You don't own your children. Somebody does, but it's not you. Hell, you don't even own your own name. How's that grab you? And I will be giving you the facts, the evidence, and the proof. Everyone in Canada is above the law. I know it is hard to believe, but absolutely true. Money is not a store of wealth. It is a store of someone's debt. You have never paid for anything in your entire life. I know it's hard to believe, but when you understand what money is, you've never paid for anything in your entire life. Everyone in Canada and the U.S. is licensed to give legal advice. In fact, your right to give legal advice is protected. It is needed. It is required. Or you couldn't have a legal system. When you receive something, you are getting it for the second time. Funny, huh? When a police officer stops you for speeding, it's because you told him to. No court in Canada or the U.S. can or will take judicial notice of the law that says thou shalt not steal. Not a single court, anywhere. Your legal system cannot work with that law. It's impossible. Every man being held in jail is there because of what they believe, their conviction. Overturn your conviction with the proper authority and you can get out. Your birth certificate does not certify the birth of a living individual. What? No. You think that's your birth? Certifies your birth? No, no. A license is permission to do something illegal. Yeah. It is the intent to commit a crime. Now we just need the act. So if you have any licenses, that's the prima facie evidence, the proof of your intention to commit a crime. I want to commit a crime. I want to break the law. Any job requires you to transact public business dishonestly for private gain. How's that grab you? Words are a secret code unless they are defined. And no one that is deceived has ever known it. For if you did, you wouldn't be deceived anymore. You see, deception is not the lack of knowledge. Not knowing something and then learning it does not mean deceived. You just did not know it till now. Deception is when you are misled deliberately from the truth to something that is false, tricked on purpose, and you don't even know you've been tricked. That is deception. Deception is a fraud, and fraud is a crime. The swindle can only work if you are an unwitting accomplice, a party to it. And when you realize you've been deceived, the lying deceiver, the real fraudster, the master of confusion, looks at you and says, "This is what I thought you believed, and you are entitled to believe whatever you want." Free will, gotta love it. I've come to know that people do not even know why they believe what they believe. People do not even know they have given up something. So why go looking for an answer to a problem when you don't even know there is a problem? You are not confused. So maybe you don't want to know. Live in ignorant bliss. I need to tell you that being deceived has nothing to do with being stupid. You can only discover deceit by learning the truth. What you believe will not do it. When you learn how and why you were deceived and the choices you made and then continue in them, then you can no longer claim you were deceived or scream fraud. Then if things do not go well for you, then you can say, "Boy, was I stupid." You and I both have a very good sound brain. It's just that it's been messed up a bit, deliberately and for a purpose. There are many people who feel there is something wrong in the world concerning all sorts of things. You will learn that every one of these problems is the result of owning no property. Every last single time. But to understand why you own no property is the reason this is going to be a long story. And the story gets even longer to understand the solution. There are patriot groups, common law groups, tax protesters, freemen societies, Occupy Wall Street movements, Aboriginal groups, religious groups, all who say things are wrong in this world. Then there are those that think everything's fine. Or even if they think it's not, what can I do about it? But at least these groups are looking for answers. They know something is wrong. This is a commendable start. But they need to change direction. They're going the wrong way. There are many groups and individuals out there that have found and exposed things that just make no sense to them. But they're written off by the majority as abnormal, peculiar, radical extremist wing nuts. Much of what they've discovered is in fact true, but they are trying to make the corruptible incorruptible. And that'll never happen. Knowing the problem is not enough. You need to know how it happened and why it happened to find the solution. Everyone looks for someone to blame for their misfortune. If you own no property, you have a misfortune. But the choices you made were not forced on you. Although you were only enticed and suborned, although through fraud. In other words, the stage was set for you, prepared for you. Now just choose it. The reason you were enticed to participate in the swindle is because the illusion, the trick, the swindle cannot work without you. It cannot work otherwise. It would have no value. It requires you. So, what did we do? Well, in a nutshell, you lost what was yours because you took what was not yours. What did we take that was not ours? Everything. What did we lose that was ours? Everything. What did we take that was not ours? Power. What did we lose that was not ours? Power. What did we take that was not ours? A trust. What did we lose that was not ours? A trust. It doesn't matter what you put in there. It works the same. A swindle is always the opposite of the truth. So it doesn't matter what you put into that equation. It works out the same. It is always something backwards, the opposite of the truth. This is how a swindle works. How can this be if it was given us? We were to accept it, not to steal it and make it our own. We are totally unaware that we bear and suffer daily the penalty of a breach of trust. Today, all that you have or hold is borrowed from a misplaced trust. You are borrowing and using what is not yours. You own nothing. And the borrower is always servant to the lender. Because of this choice you made, you are barred for life and must plead at the bar for all you desire. This is called beggary. Well, you can call it pleading, praying, whatever. It's beggary. You have to beg when you own nothing. I see people in courts every day pleading and begging for things. I see people in banks every day begging for money. I see people in the streets carrying signs every day begging for something to change. I see people every day lined up trying to get a license to do something illegal. Yes, you are all beggars, and you've turned your children into beggars too. People who own property do not beg. They work and they mind their own business. There is a way to regain what you've lost, but there's only one way, and it is not a matter of law. And there's only one solution. There are not two, three, five solutions, but you must accept the solution to receive it. The answer should be self-evident, but it's not. This is the genius of the swindle. And only by understanding how this all works will you understand the solution. There's a subtlety to this, very hard to grasp. But I must warn you that much has been done to keep you from finding it. And second, much has been done to be sure that if you do find it or are shown it, you will not accept it. You will reject it. Now, that is someone's extraordinary good control of your mind. My only guarantee to you is that after you go through these programs, you will never be the same again. You better be sure you want to be changed. For those who are content in their way of life, I'm sorry to have bothered you. Goodbye. Please go back to whatever you were doing. For those who need to know, take your time and listen carefully to the programs. They are confusing. It is important to watch the presentations in the order they are presented. I hope these videos will become for you a blessing in disguise. Thank you for listening.
This confusion program is called Words. Confusion of voice. Like I said in the previous videos, I've now been trying for about 2 years to learn about law, and I realize it is hopeless. There is so much information on the internet about all the things that are wrong in the world, conspiracies, one world order stuff, unjust money, unjust laws. I realize if all these people are looking for answers and getting no results, then they're all doing the same things. No one's getting answers or results. They must be all mind controlled. They all think alike. We always want someone to give us answers to everything. So we must all be members of the same cult. But nowhere on the internet or any of these self-taught gurus do they ever say the problem is you own no property. Because they don't know it. They believe the lie. So the answer I'm looking for has to be more simple. But I don't know what I'm looking for yet. I know I own no property, but I don't know why I don't own any property. I stopped listening to everybody and I just sat down and think. And then I think some more. So I did something unusual. I accepted the fact that I was brainwashed, mind controlled. I think like everyone else. Can I salvage anything from my mind before it was irreparably harmed? Most people wouldn't think of an approved education or established religions or the media or history books as damaging their minds, but I do. So I went back to my childhood, prior to indoctrination, mind control, before my mind was altered in certain ways, before nonsense and the absurd became my new normal. What was my first impression of things when I heard them? So I tried to remember these things. So I went back to my childhood and I sort of need to wash my brain, clean it up a bit. So here's a few things I thought about. Corporations. The first time I ever heard the word corporations, it's a company, and it's a separate thing, a separate legal person. I didn't know that back then. And if the company went bankrupt, couldn't pay its debts, even though I owned the company, the people that I owed money to, not too bad, you just lose everything. And I could keep all my other things personal, myself, and I wouldn't have to pay these debts. I thought, well, that's not right. That's wrong. How can you do that if you owe somebody something? Second thing was lawyer's advice. I remember my dad had to go see a lawyer about something. I'm very young. And I remember my mother saying, make sure you know how much you have to pay him before you go there. And I thought to myself, why would you pay somebody any money if they're just going to tell you something? It's not like he's doing any work for you. So you just go ask somebody something, they tell you, and why would you give them money for that? So that was my first impression of that. Church hypocrite. I was an altar boy for 9 years. Roman Catholic. At the end of one mass, the priest, when he was doing the announcements, he said, I'd like to introduce a special visitor we have here today. And he introduced a United minister or a Methodist minister or Baptist minister or whatever. And this man stood up, and I was walking towards the back of the church, getting ready for the procession out. And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I thought, why is this priest doing this? This is our enemy. I hate him. Now, I'm just a little boy. 7, 8 years old, maybe 6, 7. Who put those ideas in my head? Never seen this man before, but somehow I hate him. So where did these ideas get put into my young mind? Our enemy. I'm a little bit older, getting to learn about the world. All these different countries hate each other. They're at war, got nuclear missiles pointed at each other. And then I'm watching TV one night, and I see the leaders of two of these countries that hate each other, ready to kill each other. And they're sitting there laughing with each other, slapping each other on the back, sharing a meal together. I thought, they're not enemies. They like each other. So what's going on there? Voting. First time somebody explained voting to me. If I was someone who lived in the United States of America, I get one vote out of 300 million. People tell you, it makes a difference. I think, yeah, like a lottery. How can one vote out of 300 million make any difference at all? So I didn't believe that either. Son of Canada. The first time I heard you're a son of Canada, or the sons of Britain, or the sons of... I thought, what? How can you be a son of a country? That's stupid. It's not possible. So you see, these are just a few things that I did. Just an exercise to begin the process of getting control of my mind. Now, you will recall from the previous videos how I needed to learn about words, the meaning of words. Words were all over the place. I couldn't make heads or tails out of them. The more I learned, the less I realized I knew. So I knew there was something funny going on with words. So let me tell you about words. I know words and dictionaries is all nerd stuff. When we were growing up, we wanted to go outside and play baseball or whatever. Boring. But as I'm trying to learn law, play lawyer, and all this stuff, I realize this is hopeless, reading all these legal definitions and meanings. I would read a whole paragraph to explain a word, and I couldn't understand it. I thought to myself, this is going to take more than a lifetime. Not even a lawyer can know all the law. They specialize in various parts of the law. But I have to obey and understand all the law. Now, at the time, I had no idea that, in fact, I am an attorney at law, but just a dumb one. If I looked at a normal dictionary versus a law dictionary, words would mean different things. An ordinary word would be defined as this or that, and in law, it would mean something else. How can words mean different things? I remember looking at the word raptor in Canadian law. It said it was a bird of the order Strigiformes, Falconiformes, and included eagles, falcons, hawks, owls, vultures, and so forth, and included their eggs. I go to another law book, and I look up the word raptor, and it says, see ravisher. I look up ravisher on the next page. It says, one who seeks carnal knowledge of a woman against her consent. What? This makes no sense. So I'm looking through various laws, statutes, and so forth, and it would say that in this act, this means this or that, and will include this or that. Or in this act, this will be this, which means if it's not in this act, it will not be this, but it would be something different. Well, now it's even getting more ridiculous. How can a word mean this here and that there? It would be easy to trick you, don't you think? Now, this was written by a law professor a number of years ago, probably an honest one. I'm just going to read this to you. He says, dealing in words is a dangerous business. Dangerous business. Hard to believe. And it cannot be too often stressed that that's what the law deals in, is words. Dealing in long, vague, fuzzy meaning words, and even more dangerous business. And most of the words the law deals in are long and vague and fuzzy. Even when the words of a statute appear, at least to a non-lawyer, to have a perfectly plain and definite meaning, you can never be sure that a court will not up and say that those words mean something entirely different. Yet why, if you think it over for a minute, should people not be privileged to understand completely and precisely any laws that directly concern them, and any business documents they have to sign, and any codes of rules or restrictions which apply to them and under which they perpetually live? Why then should the law use a language, language being, remember, no more than a means of communicating ideas, which those ordinary human beings cannot hope to understand? The law would lose its dignity and then its power, and so would the lawyers. So legal language, by obstructing instead of assisting the communication of ideas, is very useful to the lawyers. It enables them to keep on saying nothing with a great air of importance and getting away with it. Now, that was written by a law professor, a man who taught lawyers. Now, I'm going to go into something that is terribly boring, only mildly interesting, but absolutely necessary. This is also going to be a little confusing for you, but for the purposes of this video, it is only to make you aware of words and what can be done with them. Did you know that something necessary cannot be otherwise? Did you know that which is necessary cannot be and not be at the same time? Did you know that involve means to be and not to be at the same time? You see, I liked grammar in school because it had rules. No room for interpretation. That made sense to me. English literature was retarded. And I know today why it is mandatory through all your education to retard you. So I reasoned that if a word can have six different meanings, how could I ever know what it means? Oh, people say it's the context of the word, or the way it is used, or the acceptance of the word, or it's used for this purpose, etc. So I had a look at characters, symbols, syllables, roots of words, prefixes, suffixes, the tense of words, vowels, consonants, nouns, verbs, adjectives, pronunciation of words, language, speech, speaking, writing, the sound of words, conjunctions, articles, the gender or case of words, the sense of words, etc., etc., etc. I had a look at what could be done with metaphors, similes, all sorts of things about language and speech. So what is a word? A word is an uttered sound or a written symbol used to communicate. If the hearer or the viewer of the word recognizes the word as it is written or sounds, he will know what you intended to tell him. Words are a code. If you know the code, then you know what the guy is trying to tell you. If you don't know the code, you haven't a clue of what he's saying. Words can represent to your mind places, things, people, events, concepts, thoughts, ideas, real things, imaginary things, basically anything the mind can conceive. But as we will learn, words can also deceive. Remember, there are only two ways to see. One is with the eyes, and one is with the mind. Words work only on the mind, not the eyes. A word can represent something that is present or absent, but it cannot represent something that does not exist. Can you have a word that represents nothing? You could, but it would have no meaning. Could you imagine things and then represent them with words? The answer is no, because you can only represent that which is present. How can you communicate something to another that is in your imagination? He can't see it unless he has the same imagination as you. Webster, Daniel Webster, the dictionary guy, he puts it this way. Imagination, in our simple apprehension, means if present is sense, if absent is imagination. We are human, and we were given only five senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. If you believe something that makes no sense, one of the five senses, it is nonsense. No sense. So since we all have the same five senses, how do we feel fool or deceive someone to believe nonsense? Well, we use intelligence. The ability to perceive nonsense. Now you're thinking, what's wrong with intelligence or having a high IQ? Nothing. Remember, we see two ways. We see with the eyes and we see with the mind. The second one is controlled by laws which you're not aware of. So words create an image in our mind. This is how we see them when they are not present. But if the thing does not exist, can there be an image? No. In other words, can an image have a shadow? The answer is no. A thing can make an image, but an image cannot make an image. An image is only a representation of a thing in a different form. Keep that in mind when you are concerned how people see you. Is it really your image you want to improve? I don't have any props here, but if I had some props like a pencil and a cup, okay? Let me explain another concept. I have two things, a pencil and a cup. For the purposes of communication, we will make the symbol for the pencil the letter P. For the cup, it will be the letter C. Can the cup be C? No. It's only the symbol. It will only represent the cup to your mind. See provides or gives you an image to see. When I say to you, I have four P's, you will see four pencils in your mind, even though there are no pencils present. However, pencils must exist somewhere, or there would be no image in your mind. It would be nonsense. An image is like a reciprocal thing. If there is nothing, there is no image. If there's an image, there must be something. A wise guy once said, if you think you are something but are nothing, you are deceived. Now, things can be reciprocal, and so can images. An example of a reciprocal image would be a father and son. In order to be a father, there must be a son. In order to be a son, there must be a father. Parent-child is also reciprocal. In other words, if your parents had no children, there's a good chance you won't either. Some people have said, I am the image of my father. I guess the only way you would know that is if you have seen my father. Can C represent the pencils? No. If it did, you would not know what I am trying to communicate to you, and you will see the wrong image. So a word can have different meanings. So can a word have different meanings? No. Because if it did, it could trick you or deceive you. You may see the wrong thing, the wrong image. Excuse me. If we put four symbols together to form a symbol like the word tree, T-R-E-E, you will see a tree. If I say there are a row of trees along the driveway, you will see a row of spruce trees along the driveway, or a row of maple trees. Not specific enough, lacking information. So what you see will be based on what you know, but also on what you do not know. In other words, deceit can be achieved by learning the wrong thing as well as by the true or right thing being kept from you. If knowledge is lacking, that is one thing. But if it is purposely kept from you, or you are given the wrong knowledge on purpose, that is deceit. What you will see is based only on your past experiences and associations developed during your life. It all depends on mind control. So, you can only see what you know or believe the word to be. If you do not even know the word, you will see nothing. You see, words are a secret code. If I look at Chinese words, or somebody speaks Chinese to me, and says, look at the row of trees along the driveway, I won't see anything. The words are a secret. Not my secret, but the one who spoke them. The whole idea of words is so that you can see. I know you use your eyes to see. Well, not really. In fact, what you see will determine what you believe. And what you believe will determine how you act. And you will believe what you see.
Let's continue with Marcus.
In Webster's Dictionary, Daniel Webster again, he says the following about the meaning of words. He says, it is the sense of words or expressions. That which is to be understood. That which the writer or speaker intends to express or communicate. Words have a literal meaning or a metaphorical meaning, and it is not always easy to ascertain the real meaning. People think the literal meaning is the real meaning. He's saying, not really. Definitions of words are never what they are. Definitions of words only give them definition. The definitions set the boundaries or the limits of what the word will mean or be or include. The best we can do is arrive at the sense of a word, but in all cases we must know what the writer or the speaker of the word intended to communicate. Black's Law Dictionary explains words like this. He says, words are symbols indicating ideas and subject to contraction and expansion to meet the idea expressed. Such have been referred to as labels, whose content and meaning are continually changing with the times. So, Black's Law is saying the meaning of words are continually changing and shifting. Do you believe that? Or is that what we are doing? So Bob asked me to bring him two chickens. When I get there, he says, "What the hell are you doing?" I tell him, "Oh, the word changed since we last spoke. Here's two rabbits." Two things cannot be represented by the same word. Likewise, one thing cannot be represented by two different words. I could say to you, money, funds, capital, proceeds, revenue, income, credit, currency, cash. You would think these are all money. But if they're all money, why do I need a different word? They may be like money, but they are not it. Two things can never be the same. It's not possible. If two pencils are the same, and this pencil commits a crime, we can put the other pencil in jail. Why not? It's the same pencil. I guess if the innocent pencil appeared to be the same pencil as the criminal pencil, we could impose a sentence on the innocent pencil because it not only appeared to be, but assumed and took the place of the criminal pencil. Sort of like a forgiveness thing. Stand in the place of. In fact, both pencils would have the same name. But if you look very closely, you will see one is a numbered pencil. A little foreshadowing here. Two things can never be the same. They can only have the same qualities or attributes. They have the same color, the same length, etc. I once read a court record where a guy did not want to pay his taxes. He said, "Only persons have to pay taxes, and he's not a person." The judge said, "A person is a human being, and you are a human being, so you have to pay taxes." And the guy shut up and sat down. Why did the law not say all human beings have to pay taxes? Why did it say persons? Persons are not human beings. The judge said, "A person is a human being." I'm telling you, a person's not a human being. They may be the same in some quality or attribute, but they are not the same. Exactly alike, incapable of being perceived as different, being the exact same one, not any other. It may not be the same one, but it is the exact one. But how can it be one and the same when to be the same requires two? This is the same. Same as what? Same as that. So same requires this and that. So now we have to learn what it means to be as. Very important word to understanding the illusion and how the trick is done. To be as is to become something that you are not. It requires you to be something different and move your position. To be in the place or stead of what you will be as a disposition. If you act for in the place of, then you are the exact one, but not the same one. Exact means out of the act. How are we ever supposed to know the truth about anything? Do you see how easy it would be to make an error with words? How easy it would be to be deceived? I opened a law dictionary one day, and I just on two pages, I wrote down the first few words of a few definitions. And this is how they start. This word, as applied to, means. The general sense, in a general sense, this means. The radical sense of this word is. This word includes this and that. As used in this act, it means. The legal meaning of this word is. In a popular sense, this word means. a term formerly applied to, a term sometimes applied to. In maritime law, this means the most simple acceptation of this word is this word signifies, this term exhibits, this word means, but it's not used anymore, this word pertains to. In civil law, this means this word relates to, this term applies mainly to. These are the beginning words of definitions of legal words.
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476.
The legal system can make a word be whatever we want it to be. You could say that legalism is magic words. In this act, this will be that. But for the purposes of the act, that will be this. Otherwise, it may be something else. When you talk to kids today, they will say things to you like, you ask them a question. Well, it's like this, and I did like that, and it was awesome, and I like this. And I sit there, and I listen, and I go, is it a zebra? I mean, you're telling me what it's like, and I'm supposed to guess what it is. Why don't you just tell me what it is? People can't speak properly anymore. We also pronounce words differently, and then we are tricked. We violate the rules of grammar. Then we use words totally wrong and stand totally dumbfounded when we hear certain things, like, your birth certificate does not represent a living individual. Everyone goes, oh, how can that be? The birth certificate is just a piece of paper. It can't represent you. You have to represent it. The reason you don't understand that is because you fail to understand what the word represent means. For all the pro se common law gurus out there that laugh about representing themselves, a lawyer once said, or a judge once said, he who represents himself has a fool for a client and an ass for an attorney. Now go on, try to represent yourself. You can only present yourself, and you can only represent something other than you, and you can only do it as appearing as. It is not reality. When lawyers are called to the bar for admission, they present themselves. As an attorney, they appear for you. We also say many stupid things every day. Stupid sayings, things like, where do you live? Well, I live over there. Do you live over there? No, I live over there. So if you go over there, you're dead. What does it mean, where do you live? Very important to understanding the illusion. The late John Smith, if we wait a little bit longer for him, maybe he'll show up. Is he just late? Late for what? Do you think he died? Well, is he late or is he dead? Did he die or maybe deceased, depart, perish, pass away, give up the ghost, expire? You see, what is the sense of the word? We use words many times in the wrong way. In other words, used to be. What did you used to be? What did you use to be what you were? I used this to be what I am. I used to be used to using it, but I don't use it anymore, so you can't tax me. I knew an Indian girl, Native Canadian. She said she lost her Indian status card. She said without it, she's not an Indian anymore. She said she used to be an Indian. What did she use to be an Indian? I also knew a black guy, a friend of mine. He had a black status card. He lost it. He said, without it, I'm not black anymore. These are only a few examples to make you think very carefully. Go carefully word by word when you're trying to figure out something. Do not forget the little words. You can be in something without being of it. Very important statement again. Then I found a short article on the internet. Very rarely do I find anything on the internet that helps me. But this article sort of, in a way, summed up what I'm telling you. I'm going to read it to you. It says, the deliberate alteration of words, or meaning of words, to achieve political or social ends. The extreme version of this practice was referred to as newspeak, describing the practices of propaganda. Newspeak referred to a practice used by the government to reduce the amount of words in language in order to inhibit the exercise of independent thought by the public. This had the effect of cutting people off from information about their past and limiting their ability to interact with each other regarding present circumstances. Not only were words given limited definitions, many were eliminated altogether. When those in positions of public responsibility and the public cannot agree on the definition of words, everyone in the process becomes the political target of political manipulation. An alternative to Newspeak's reduction of words and definitions would be to expand the number of definitions of words until no one is capable of arriving at a certain meaning for what they read. This would be another method to achieve the same objective of controlling communications. Intentionally or unintentionally, providing ambiguous or altered definitions of words greatly inhibits communication. It confuses matters and removes people from a knowledge of history and the majority of information resources simply because they don't understand the traditional meaning of words. Sure, they have free access to information in abundance, but what benefit is derived if they cannot understand the definition of words being used? Even more disturbing is the fact that the readers might happily come away believing their false views and flawed conclusions are absolutely correct. There's a difference between the use of slang and the deliberate alteration of meanings for political purposes. However, the end result is the same. Those members of the public who are not familiar with the traditional meanings are swept away in a popular tide of modern use. Unless someone enters the picture who can point out the significance of the original meaning of certain words, the public will benefit but little from efforts to study an historical document such as the Constitution. Another warning about the destruction of language and history is presented by simply burning all the books. As the body of information available for human consumption continues to grow geometrically, while communication becomes more difficult because of the deliberate evolution of the definition of words, anyone who has a vested interest in controlling the masses will find his job mostly done. No one will need to burn all the books when there is no one left who understands them. How are you ever going to know what anything means? The reason I explain this about words is so that you may understand and see how I discovered things in the subsequent programs. Whenever you read something that makes no sense to you, but apparently is correct, you will instantly know that one or more of the words cannot mean what you think it means. So let's have a look at a few words here. Proper. Peculiar, naturally or essentially belonging to a man or thing, not common. That is not proper, which is common to many. Sorry, there's a few other words I was going to hear. Common, belonging equally to more than one, no separate owner. Proper, peculiar. Peculiar, beyond or deviating from the usual or expected, one's own, exclusive property, that which belongs to one in exclusion to others. Sophisticate. What does sophisticate, or to be sophisticated, means? A very sophisticated man. Sounds like a good thing, a man of the world. Sophisticate. To adulterate, to corrupt by something spurious or foreign, to pervert, as to sophisticate nature, philosophy, or the understanding. A sophism is a subtlety in reasoning. Subtle, also written subtle, difficult to detect or grasp by the mind or analyze. Subtle, sly in design, artful, cunning, insinuating, applied to persons. Civilization, the act of rendering a criminal process civil. Realize, the act of making it real. You can make anything real, even the unreal, if you realize it. Become, very, very, very important word. To enter or assume a certain state or condition. Come into existence. To pass from one state to another. To enter into some state or condition. By a change from another state or condition. Or by assuming or receiving new properties or qualities, additional matter, or a new character. To become of, usually with what preceding. To be the fade of, to be the end of, to be the final or subsequent condition. In the present tense, it applies to place as well as condition. What has become of my friend? That is, where is he? Become is what you are and where you are. Remember when I said, you can never return to who you are and where you are if you use the get out of jail free card. Remember that? Appear. What does it mean to appear? It means seems to be as opposed to reality. When somebody says to you, you should appear, the logical question is, appear to be what? It's not reality. Apparent. Appearing as such, but not necessarily so. Apparition, something existing in perception only. Apparitor, one who summons to court. That word's not used anymore. Identity, the distinct personality of an individual regarded as a persisting entity. Exact sameness. Identify, the act of making or proving to be the same. Go through a few more words just for some fun here. Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, the seat of the Roman Catholic Church. Roman, a native of Rome, a citizen of Rome, a countryman of Rome. A pagan, a countryman. You're not going to find that in any new modern dictionary or anything. Romance, to forge and tell fictitious stories. Romancer, one who invents fictitious stories. A romantic, not sensible about practical matters, idealistic and unrealistic. Necromantic, given to or produced by or used in the art of conjuring up the dead. Necromancer, one who practices magic or sorcery, one who practices divination by conjuring up the dead. Necromancy, the belief in magical spells that harness all occult forces or evil spirits to produce unnatural effects in the world, conjuring up the dead. Conjure, call up a spirit or devil, summons into action or bring into existence, often as if by magic. Have you ever been given a summons to appear? Maybe in court? As an apparition by the apparitor? What would you think if I told you, what would you think if I told you that a summons to appear is a conjuration? What would you think if I told you that you practice necromancy every time you appear in court? What would you think if you practice the occult every day of your life and don't even know you're doing it? What do you think? Be pretty unbelievable, wouldn't it? Can't believe that. Everyone can't be doing this. That would be unbelievable. The most common words we use every day, we never stop to think about what they mean. Why would we? We're educated. We have an approved education. In the next video, we are going to look at only one word, and that word is person. This one word is the key to grasping the illusion you live and why you own nothing. Till then, my name is Marcus.
I hoped you enjoyed tonight's podcast. My live podcast will continue next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Servant King. Hi, my name is Marcus. Marcus will continue to explore our confusions of things. Mind, being, voice, faith, law, things, money, and God. Again, you can always come back to listen to this podcast and all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org, under podcast/videos. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Also, visit my main website to purchase my book, He Lives the Living Testimony, second edition with added preference and edited back cover, and other uplifting items such as the Creator poster, the Natural Laws poster, and do enter to win a free copy of my book. Winners are named every 3 months, along with more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, and book signings. I will now accept any callers to the show. Dial 516-531-9476. That's 516-531-9476. Press 1 to speak with me. And do tell a friend. It all means nothing, and if you don't stand up for something, you can't just stop the top. You got to walk that walk. Yes, you do. It all.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.